the quest to defend more than just a championship lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386. The quest to defend more than just a championship lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386.
And welcome to the New England Patriots postgame show powered by CLNSradio.com. I'm Patrick Shank with the Mike Olangi, and the New England Patriots defeat the Buffalo Bills by a score of 40-32. Got a lot closer there in the end of the Bills' score, 19 points in the fourth quarter to cut it down to 37-32 before the Patriots hit a field goal, Steven Gostkowski, with just over a minute left. Logan Ryan with the game-winning interception on Tyler Taylor's first half of the two-minute drill. The Patriots move on to 2-0. Lots to get to in this show. Number calling 929-477-2386. That number once again, 929-477-2386. Mike, I'll start with you. First impressions on the game that we just witnessed.
Well, I mean... I really enjoyed what I saw out there. I mean, I really didn't think that the Patriots would be able to run the ball very well against this defensive front. And I honestly didn't think they'd be able to pass block very well, but they came through really well. Brady only sacked one time in the entire – or two times in the entire game. So I was very impressed with the offensive line. I was very impressed with Tom Brady. He looked great again, threw for almost 400 yards. And – Deion Lewis was my favorite player of this game. I loved what I saw from Deion Lewis in the running game and the passing game. I thought he just brings a different element to the offense that I really, really like.
One thing that I thought was interesting, and I thought it worked for the most part, was the play calling, where we saw 59 pass attempts from Tom Brady, only 15 rushes by the offense. I thought it was necessary in a game like this, and it was talked about during the broadcast, where the Bills have such an enormous front seven. Their front seven is the best part of that defense, where you can't have a guy like LeGarrette Blount rushing up the middle. And we did see on the few rushes that Blount had, there really wasn't anywhere to go. So I was a fan of the play calling. You know, Tom Brady obviously had a great day, over 400 yards passing, three touchdowns. My only concern with the play calling came on the 2 fourth and 1s that the Patriots had. They were right around the 40-yard line both times. The first one, Brady kind of had pressure, rolls out, threw a lob ball up to Edelman, which was overthrown. The second one, though, they had him. They had Shaq Mason as the fullback. They kind of fooled everyone on the play action. Edelman and Gronk were both open down the field, and Brady missed Edelman on an overthrow. And in my opinion, if you're gonna, you know, I'm not saying that they weren't good plays. The second one, what was a good play call? The only thing is, Tom Brady's been so successful on those QB sneaks, and when you have an extra lineman as a fullback, I mean, it's hard not to question a handoff or a run by Brady or Blount on those two plays, because those two plays really flipped the field position for Buffalo, gave them a chance with more time on the clock to make plays, and we saw the walk-in touchdown late in the fourth. That came off of the strip of Brady, which is another play I didn't like from the offensive line. But those 2 fourth and 1 calls, I wasn't a big fan of. What do you think, Mike?
I agree with you there. I mean, I do think that Tom Brady, he is notoriously great with that sneak move. Even if you had the maybe a flat, a route out in the flat, something like that, a quick 5-yard out route, something underneath where Brady might be able to go as well as the deep ball. I think that might have been a little better. But I agree with you. I think you probably sneak it, especially on that last play where Brady throws to Edelman. You have Shaq Mason in there. You're gonna get a big hole somewhere that you can squeeze through. So I mean you can't question it too much because they won, but I definitely see where you're coming from with where Brady should have snuck that ball on that last one.
Yeah, and I think it goes back more so with the overall scheme they came into, which is we're gonna spread it out, we're gonna throw the ball, 60 times. And
exactly.
Trying to stop Tom Brady. And they couldn't, obviously. But I think that also helped lead to the Buffalo Bills' comeback because there were so many, not just drops, but there's a lot of incomplete passes that happened throughout this game that stopped the clock, gave Buffalo more time. And with those 2 4th-and-1s that were incomplete, it gave the ball back to Buffalo near midfield with the clock stopped. So I think that accounted for the Bills' ability to come back in this game. I mean, I never really questioned the Patriots were going to lose that game. I mean, the Bills came out strong in the first drive, but after that, the Patriots, they controlled this game from after that first drive all the way into the fourth quarter. I mean, the Patriots, their offense dictated the game. And I think the defense will get a bad rep for this game because they gave up 32 points, and, they looked bad at times, but they did what they had to do. They sacked Tyrod Taylor 8 times. They didn't let him go crazy running or throwing the ball. Yeah, LeSean McCoy had a nice game, ran the ball, similarly to last week with Pittsburgh, but the Patriots defense, I wasn't mad at them. I thought Malcolm Butler played a great game. I thought the front seven and the pass rush played really well. And you know what? When you're passing the ball so much on offense, there's going to be extra series that you have to defend on defense. But for giving up 32 points, I should say, I wasn't mad at the way they played defense today.
Honestly, I'm right there with you. I thought they played pretty well on defense, despite giving up 32 points. I thought the pass rush was just fantastic. Jamie Collins was flying through that A gap and getting to Tyrod Taylor before he even had a chance to blink. Jamie Collins had one of the best games out there today. I agree with you on Malcolm Butler. I think he played well. That interception was great. You can tell he's got great hands. And even on that last touchdown pass when Tyrod Taylor rolled out and threw the ball, I mean, Butler only overran that a little bit. It was just over his fingertips. So I was impressed with the secondary. I thought there'd be issues, just like there was issues kind of towards the end of the game against Pittsburgh. But I was very happy with the linebackers, with the front seven as a whole. I thought they played really well. Daron Harmon, once again, he seems to have a knack for coming through at that one time playing like center field, and he'll just come in and snag a ball at a perfect time. And he did that again today. I was very happy with that. So I honestly thought the defense played a great game. I chalk up those last 14 points that the Bills scored as almost garbage time touchdowns, to be honest with you.
Exactly. And you mentioned the linebackers. Jamie Collins had 2.5 sacks. Hightower had 0.5 sack. That's 3 out of your 8 right there. Taylor Jones had a great game. He had 3 sacks. So like I said, the defense and the Patriots are really notorious. Outside of last year, they've really been the defense bend but don't break. And they played that way the most of the game. I mean, they were up by 3 touchdowns. 20 points, whatever it was, in the third, fourth quarter. And like you mentioned, those last 2 touchdowns kind of just garbage time. Points. So I wasn't mad at the way the defense played at all. One person who I saw stood out to me on the other side of the ball offensively, Deion Lewis. He had a great game catching the ball. The thing I was surprised at the most with him is that he fumbled the ball last week against Pittsburgh, comes in, catches a screen pass, fumbles another one today on the same exact field where Bill Belichick benched Stephen Ridley for fumbling the opening game 2 seasons ago. But Deion Lewis came right back in the next series and didn't really miss any playing time, which really surprised me. And I saw people on Twitter saying that it's a different, it's case by case with Belichick. It's not always the same. But I have never seen in the Bill Belichick era somebody fumble the ball back-to-back week and continuously be back into the game the very next series. So I was very surprised about that. Again, they'll chalk up the play calling and the schemes and saying that, that was what we needed to do. But I was really shocked we didn't see more of Kadett or Brandon Bolden in the game after Deion Lewis' second fumble in as many weeks.
Pat, I thought Dion was gone. I thought he wasn't coming back in the game. I'll be honest with you. I was shocked when I saw him come back in. I'm pretty sure it was the next series. I don't even think he missed a series out there.
Yeah, I know he didn't miss one play.
I think it was mainly probably a matchup thing. Like you said, I was a little surprised to not see Travaris Cadet, because he's another one of those guys who's a great screen, you know, dump off kind of players. So that's a little surprising. But I think Dion was just on a roll. I think that Belichick just wanted to ride the hot hand. He made a couple of great catches down the field, not even screen passes. We're talking splitting out wide and running down the field. He was making some great plays. For a small guy, he's running through tackles. As long as he can hold on to that ball, I think he's going to have a solid role in this offense going forward. And Belichick has clearly shown that he's going to stick with him.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. Number of phone guys, 929-477-2386. Again, 929-477-2386. Taking your calls. Talking about this game, Patriots win 40-32. They improve to 2-0 on the season. The Buffalo Bills fall to 1-1. Really, the Tom Brady tour has gone 2 weeks. We've seen him. He has over 700 passing yards, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions thus far. I mean, people were saying going into the season already, with having a healthy Julian Edelman, a healthy Rob Gronkowski, you know, LeGarrette Blount for a full season, that this offense could do damage. You add on the Deflategate stuff, and Brady looks great. Rob Gronkowski looks great. Julian Edelman looks great. The biggest question mark that we had in offense was the offensive line. And having those three rookies in the middle, especially David Andrews, the center, the undrafted rookie, who I thought he didn't have a great game. I thought you could definitely see he got rattled with the crowd noise. But for all intents and purposes, as a unit, they didn't play that bad. I think Brady was only sacked. He got sacked once, and he got stripped on that in the fourth quarter late. But other than that, Brady really had no problems with pressure. He was getting the ball out quick. He had a couple plays where he was able to step up in the pocket and have a clean field of vision. So as big as the question marks are for the offensive line, I think through 2 weeks, there hasn't been any real problems that I've seen so far. What about you?
Pat, I totally agree with you. I think they played pretty well, to be honest with you. I agree with you about the crowd noise. I think any rookie coming into a stadium like that where they're trying to break a sound record, I think he's going to be a little rattled. But you saw Brady kind of tapping him on the back a couple of times, calming him down, making sure that everyone had the right plays and had the right blocking assignments. And you mentioned it real quick, and I want to just kind of hit on this point. Brady moved incredibly well in the pocket today. He was moving up. He was moving side to side. He was, you know, stepping around rushes. I thought he looked great in the pocket. And he's always been able to do that. But, you know, just seeing him utilize his legs like that, kind of rolling out when he hit Edelman on that touchdown pass, if Brady's going to keep being able to do that and the line can at least block well enough for Brady to be able to maneuver in the pocket like that, I think that's really all you can ask of these guys.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned the way he was moving in the pocket. I agree with you 100%. I think that, especially in these first two games, we've seen Brady have the time. He's able to step up, plant that leg, and kind of let that dictate. And that's the thing with Brady for, you know, his whole career. When you tap the offensive line, the guys like Matt Light, Logan Mankin, Dan Copen, we've seen him at his best. And right now, you know, they don't really have all of the guys there. We know Stork's injured. Ballmer was injured today a little bit. But they've held up, and Brady's had time, and he's had protection, and good things are going to happen. Now, I can't see it being a problem going forward, at least in the immediate future. You have Jacksonville coming in next week to Gillette Stadium. You're not really going to see a big pass rush there. And then I believe that their bye week is next week before they go to Dallas for week 5.
Yep.
So
yep.
If the offensive line can kind of just keep holding their own through the next few weeks, you get Brian Stork back in week 8 or 9. That's a big improvement. And, I mean, you're just they're getting experience, and they're playing against NFL defenses. And the further they can keep this going, the better it's going to be, because once this offense – and I don't think they've reached their full potential or their full rhythm yet. And I think a lot of that's going to be with the offensive line and getting trust and having Brady trust in them. But through 2 weeks, we really can't complain at all with what this offensive line has done, especially not having Brian Stork and having three rookies from left, center, and right guard.
I definitely agree, and I think that's the big thing is the three rookies. I think that the experience they're getting now, especially against a defensive front like Buffalo's, I think, and even Jacksonville next week. Jacksonville has some pretty decent pass rushes up front, and I think that's gonna give them some real confidence going forward. Because we all know that Belichick likes playing the matchups, and that doesn't necessarily just mean lining Rob Gronkowski up outside on a cornerback. That means maybe bringing in a specific offensive lineman to block a specific player. And if you're going into late season in the playoffs and you can afford to roll in these rookie guys and they can actually contribute and keep the offensive line solid and give other guys breathers as you go through, I think that's going to be the biggest thing. I think once Stork comes back, you'll be able to kind of move these guys around. Maybe Andrews can play some guard a little bit, something like that, and you can get them experience in different spots. Just to prepare them for later and later in the season.
Exactly. And this next point I'm going to make, I'm going to let you take it first because I'm going to get going a little bit of a rant. But I'm going to toss it to you first and have you talk about it before I get into it. But what is your assessment then through 2 weeks of the cornerback play of Bradley Fletcher?
I am so glad you asked me that. I think he should be off the team. I'm not going to lie. I saw him last year, and you saw him on SportsCenter just getting burned.
When I'm here, at Echo, so I can put my phone on mute, check the laptop, and go back to the bathroom.
The thing with Bradley Fletcher, and I'm going to say this one time, you went from having Darrell Revis, Brandon Browner, Kyle Arrington, all these guys. You had a great secondary last year. No one's going to deny that. You bring in Terrell Brown, who I think has, through 2 weeks, been okay. And you brought in Bradley Fletcher, who got cut from the Eagles because he got beat on the default. He got destroyed today. And I was at the game on Thursday night, so I wasn't watching him specifically. But from what I heard, he didn't have the best game on Thursday night. He went arguably from having the best cornerback in the NFL in Darrell Revis to possibly the worst cornerback right now in the league in Bradley Fletcher. And the thing that scares me the most is that Bill Belichick is not going to commit to letting Malcolm Butler be the guy, you know, your a la Darrell Revis, your Richard Sherman, who covers one guy. So you're going to have at some point Bradley Fletcher covering a guy like Dez Bryant. Well, you know, not Dez Bryant because he's hurt, but a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., or a guy like Jimmy Watkins that we saw today, or a guy like Brandon Marshall in New York. That scares me because I think Malcolm Butler, through 2 weeks, I mean, I know he got torched against Pittsburgh and Antonio Brown, but I thought he played great in that game for what he was asked to do. I thought he had another good game today. But he's not at that level yet where he's going to be, you know, your supreme shutdown corner. So you're going to be asking guys like Fletcher to step in. And that worries me going forward. And I don't know what the plan of contingency is for this secondary, especially with Fletcher, but they cannot continuously roll him out on that field and let him get burned deep like that. And if you're going to allow him to be there, then you're going to have to consider maybe taking the 40 and putting him as the sole guy just to cover Fletcher's side of the field. They kind of did it last year when Browner first came back, and they'd have Browner on one receiver with McCourty helping over the top, and then have Revis just shutting down the other side of the field. Maybe you're going to have to do something where you bring in McCourty to just shadow whatever Fletcher is covering. And then maybe you can think about bringing in an extra member of the secondary to help out the right side of the field. But for right now, they have to get a plan in place for Bradley Fletcher because although they play Jacksonville next week, they have some tough receiver opponents coming in and good quarterbacks coming in too to traverse his defense. So there needs to be something up when it talked about on Monday morning when it comes to Bradley Fletcher and the quarterback play.
I totally agree with you, Pat. They're going to attack that. They're going to attack Bradley Fletcher when he's on the field. It's just that's what's going to happen when he's out there. I don't know if he's just not fast enough or if he doesn't know how to play the ball in the air, but, I mean, he was a good 2.5 steps behind Bradley Fletcher. I mean, behind Sammy Watkins on that touchdown catch. You can't keep him out there if he's going to be playing like that. A good quarterback like a Tony Romo or, you know, a Peyton Manning, they're going to see him out on the field and say, that's where we're going no matter what. We're moving our receiver over there and we're attacking that side of the field. So you have to find some way to keep him, to help him out or to do something because as of right now, he's probably the worst corner in the league, like you said.
And it doesn't help when your secondary bench includes guys like Logan Ryan, who I don't know what happened. I know he had an interception today to end the game, but ever since that last that first quarter, I mean that first half of the Super Bowl, he just has not. I've lost all trust in him. He had a bad preseason. He has not had a good start to the season, and I think a lot of these guys. You know, I'm not comfortable having Logan Ryan out there. I'm not comfortable having Bradley Fletcher out there. And it's starting to get back to 2011, 2012 type secondary where, I mean, we had guys like Matthew Slater and Julian Edelman playing back there, and they were playing better than how Bradley Fletcher was playing. So I think maybe you have to go out and find a free agent. Maybe you make a trade. I don't know where the plan is because I like what they're doing defensively. They're getting to the quarterback fast. They're forcing them to make throws. You're seeing a lot of those incompletions come from pressure, and I like that a lot. But they're not going to get pressure every play. So you need to have a capable guy back there, someone who can at least, you know, keep the guy in front of him. And you know the Patriots, they're going to bend, and they're going to, you know, let those dinky tackles go off, and that's fine. They're one monster, and it's always been, you know, don't give up the big play. And right now, with Bradley Fletcher there, you're going to give up the big play. And I don't want to see this happen because they did this a lot 2-3 years ago. They're going to start putting 40, 20, 30 yards behind the line of scrimmage and saying, listen, we're going to play 11 on 10, and you're not going to go deep. And I think that's an awful strategy to play. I don't like that. I love it if they've done more, bringing in, you know, letting McCourty kind of roam around more. And when they go to that type of package, they have Harmon back there, which I'm okay with. But I don't want to see them revert to those old ways like they did, you know, a few years ago before they brought in Tlaib and these guys because it's just not a good defensive strategy, in my opinion.
I totally agree, and, you know, they do have a penchant for getting those turnovers, and they always seem to force the turnover in the passing game at the right time, like I said earlier, but you really, you can't depend on that. You can't depend on having, you know, Devin McCourty, Daron Harmon flying in from somewhere in center field and picking the ball off. You have to have corners who can cover people, and you know, you said earlier Malcolm Butler kind of got toyed with by Antonio Brown. I agree that Antonio Brown had a good game, but I also thought that Malcolm Butler played a really good game last week, and I'm getting more and more impressed with him as the weeks go on. My worry is definitely on the other side of the field. I like Terrell Brown for the most part. I think he's pretty good. He's played a lot of corner in this league, so I think it's definitely a plus to have him up there. But like you said, you got to figure out something with Bradley Fletcher. And I'm no Logan Ryan fan, but I'd rather have Logan Ryan out there than Bradley Fletcher.
Why?
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, and I wanted to ask you, kind of putting it back offensively.
Are we going to see, like we saw in 2007, 2008, it's going to be those shutouts? Because I remember when the defense was back to being, I'm not saying they're back at that level, but we saw a lot of shootouts in our time over the last, you know, 6-7 years before they brought these defensive guys in. And as much as I love Tom Brady,
you're echoing a little bit, but I'll definitely take that up from where you came from. I think we will probably see a lot more shootouts than we saw in the past couple of years, especially last year. I mean, last year you have Darrell Revis and Brandon Brown are basically shutting down opposing offenses. This issue with the corners is gonna continue. So I think you will see. You're gonna have to see Tom Brady. Now, is he gonna throw it 60 times or whatever? How he threw it this week? You know, probably not. But I do think that he's gonna have to throw the ball a lot, and they're gonna have to score a lot of points to win games, especially against teams like Dallas. I think you're gonna have to score a lot of points against Dallas. I think you'd have to score a lot of points against Denver. You know, teams like that. So I think you will see a lot more shootouts than you've seen in the past couple of years.
I'm going to try this again, Mike. How's the echo?
You sound great, man.
That's all I like to hear. I feel like I just made some halftime adjustments, and we're back, you know, to get the second half of the show going.
That's it, baby.
You know, I do want to talk about, and one of the things that I think that's been a lot of fun about football has been the implementing of, you know, FanDuel and those type of sites, because you make a lot of money. And you know what? How did your fantasy teams do? That's the real question. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts than any other site. The money is real. They're paying out over $75 million a week this football season. I wish I was making that much money playing it. However, you can make money off of it. Building a team is easy. You just pick, you know, you pick your players, stay under the salary cap, and sit back on Sundays and watch your team win. Entry fees start at just $1, and anyone can play. You know fantasy football. Prove it at FanDuel. Me personally, I've been playing FanDuel, this is my first season actually doing it. And I, right now, as we stand, I'm winning $7. So, you know, $7 is $7, but it's fun. There's a special offer for new users. For every dollar that you deposit into FanDuel, they will match it up to your first $200. So you go $200, they give you $200 back. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the promo code Patriots. So don't forget to use the code Patriots as your code. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. The thing that I, especially with fantasy football, having guys like Edelman and Gronk on your team offensively for the Patriots, it's tough to kind of mix and match, but Edelman and Gronk both had over 20 points today. And what do you think in terms of with Julian Edelman? I feel like, how can I word it? Brady has become, it happened with Walker, of having a tendency to force the ball into guys like Edelman, to guys like Walker. And I feel like through 2 weeks he hasn't done it yet, because I feel like he's hung on the players. But is there a concern, in your opinion, of him starting to get back to that tendency of trying to force the ball into guys like Gronk or guys like Edelman?
I'm not sure. I think because you have a fully healthy Gronk and a fully healthy Edelman right now, I think that in itself is going to kind of keep the targets going between those two. But a guy we haven't mentioned yet tonight has been Aaron Dobson. And I thought Aaron Dobson, in the few snaps that he played out there, I thought he played pretty well. And if you have a guy out there that can, you know, he's 6'3", he can stretch the field, if he can stay healthy and he can kind of take some of those targets away from Edelman and Gronk, and then you also have a guy like Scott Chandler, who's basically, you know, the same size as Gronk, just not as skilled, and you have Deion Lewis, whoever, coming out of the backfield, I think that there's enough weapons that Brady can still afford to spread the ball around if something, you know, happens and maybe Dobson isn't playing well, or, you know, because we still don't have Brandon LaFell back. When he comes back into the mix, that's another person that takes some targets away. So I think the Patriots are actually going to be in pretty good shape in terms of, you know, Tom Brady being able to spread the ball to different receivers.
And, you know, I even completely forgot about Brandon LaFell, you know, being injured and not there as he's on the PUP. And that's a great point. I think one of the things that will help the Patriots also is I think Tavares Cadet is a guy who can do a lot of damage to the Patriots. He's been hammered the first couple weeks with that hamstring injury, and we've seen Deion Lewis come on strong and take advantage of his opportunity. But they're going to have a lot of guys on the running back group that will also help spread this offense. Deion Lewis has started. I know Jeff hates Brandon Bolden, and I'm starting to get to the point where offensively he might not be – he could be, you know, the next Matthew Slater, a guy who only is there on special teams. But, you know, you have him – LeGarrette Blount, he's on a pass catcher, but he's good at running the ball. And James White, who – I thought would have a much bigger role in the offense this season. Didn't play in week one. I think he played one snap, was inactive today. So I don't know what their plan is with James White, because I thought coming into the season he was gonna be the Deion Lewis type role and really be that versatile, you know, catching out of the, you know, the Shane Vereen type guy. But we haven't seen him. So I don't know where that's going to be. If it's Lewis the rest of the way, maybe that's the case. Maybe James White ends up making a contribution down the road. Maybe Tavares Cadet, you know, when he's healthy, he's ready to go. But that's a question that I think it's a good problem to have and a good question to ask is what's going to be your running back situation week to week. But, I mean, up to this point, I think Deion Lewis, minus the fumbling, has played well.
I totally agree. I'm becoming a bigger fan of Deion Lewis as the weeks go by. I think he's a great change of pace back. He can't be your every down guy like he was today because, like you say, I mean, he's going to fumble the ball probably. More probable than not, he's going to fumble the ball. So I think the rotation of guys we have right now, I agree with you. I thought James White would have a bigger role in the offense. But as the preseason was going on, I was kind of looking and I was thinking, well, it's probably going to be either James White or Deion Lewis as that guy. And whoever wins that job is going to have that job, you know, until they lose it. So I think that's probably the reason why, you know, you didn't see James White this week because you knew Deion Lewis was going to get the ball a lot going into this week. He was a matchup problem for the Bills. They couldn't seem to get in front of him. They couldn't tackle him. So I think that like you said, it's going to be kind of a revolving door of running backs. I think you're going to have some games where you give the ball to LeGarrette Blount 30 times, and there's going to be games where he only gets it 5 times. I think he's going to, you know, there's going to be games where he just gets goal line touches, you know, and games when he gets all the carries. So I think, you know, mixing in Travis Cadet in there as well, I think that gives you another kind of different element. So, you know, the fact that we have, you know, 4 different running backs that have 4 kind of different skill sets, I think that only, you know, works in the Patriots' favor as far as, you know, finding the right matchup to bring against a certain team every week.
Absolutely. And I think what helps also is, you know, a question mark that we had coming into the season was Aaron Dobson, who had a great rookie campaign in 2013, was hurt and really didn't play last year. I came in today and I thought played a decent game, 7 catches, 87 yards. And, you know, he was a guy who people were really high on his rookie season down year last year. And it was really, this was the year, it was make or break for him. You know, he steps in, had a good game. Scott Chandler, you know, just some of these, you know, kind of unsung guys, the guys who didn't really get talked about as much. Chandler, 3 catches, 20 yards. Obviously, his impact wasn't as noticeable. You know, he had the touchdown last week. But one thing that's been highlighted, and I think we saw it 2 or 3 times today, was that formation on the goal line where they'll have the bunch 4 tight ends. They'll have Michael Williams as your fullback. Chandler's on the line, and Gronkowski and Uman are also on the left side of the line. Those 2 spread out. Chandler goes far right. Michael Williams goes far right with Chandler, and they kind of mix and match that formation. And I think the reason that they're doing that more is because they have the personnel where you have Gronk and Chandler, who are 6'6" and 6'7". Michael Williams is the bigger guy. The Hooman's the fast side of the floor. It's been confusing. Pittsburgh got confused on it last week, and they got the Chandler touchdown. And they had it on Buffalo both times today. Chandler dropped both touchdown passes. But it's a good formation, and I think those tight ends with having those 4, it's a really good compliment, and it opens up on the goal line, because usually what we've seen on the goal line in the past was, you know, Brady would do those play-action rollouts and look for guys like Gronk in the back of the end zone, or they would just hand it off to Blount. I think it adds that extra layer into your goal line offense, and it's been successful so far. Although Chandler dropped them today, the formation as it's, you know, itself has been successful these first 2 weeks that they've used it.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because this was one of the big things I wrote down in my notes while I was watching the game today. The Buffalo Bills, they had no idea what to do when they ran out that 4 tight end set. The corners were looking at each other and they were like, you got to cover him, you got to cover him. They had no idea. And, you know, yeah, Chandler dropped those 2 passes, but you know, 8 times out of 10, those are probably touchdowns. So I think that they're going to run this formation going forward. I think, honestly, Josh McDaniels, who is a guy who loves featuring the tight end, as we all know, he's got 4 tight ends that he can use. You know, this guy, Mike Williams, you know, Detroit converted him to tackle. So, like, he can play on the line. He can play off the line. You saw him at fullback moving outside. I think that they're going to run this 4 tight end set against a lot of teams, because there's not, you know, you don't have linebackers or corners or safeties who can cover, you know, tight ends who are that big. You know, Scott Chandler, Rob Gronkowski, and Hooman, who's got the speed element, and then Mike Williams, who probably weighs the most out of all of them. You know, that's 4 different, you know, kind of looks that you're getting as a linebacker or a defensive back. That's going to mess with you. And I think that Josh McDaniels is going to utilize it more often than not. I think that the 4 tight end set, or even the 3 tight end set, is going to be huge going forward, because I forget the exact numbers on, because they threw them up on the screen during the telecast today. But, you know, running 3-plus tight end sets, you know, Brady threw all 4 of his touchdown passes against Pittsburgh when they had 3 or more tight ends on the field. So I think it's going to be a huge part of the offense going forward.
And I think another interesting thing to talk about with Gronk is, you looked last week, that there were times when no one was even covering Rob Gronkowski. And I think so far, with what we've seen with these 4 tight ends, there's been a lot of confusion amongst defenses and who's to cover who. And today, there was a plethora of people trying to cover Gronk. They had linebackers, they had cornerbacks, they had safeties, and he still went off for 7 catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown. Chandler's going to open that up, and that's a big thing to have. And I know people were really looking for that Aaron Hernandez-type player where you had that elusive, versatile tight end. But I think what Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick are showing you here is that we don't need to have that Aaron Hernandez type guy. You know, we take the Rob Gronkowski carbon copy physically. You know, he's going to be a little quicker than Chandler. But basically, you have kind of the same body type in Chandler, and we'll spread them both out wide. And if you want to put a cornerback on him, we'll find the mismatch somewhere else. If you put a linebacker on him, we'll utilize their speed. It's a big mismatch, and I think, I mean, through these first 2 weeks, I think you've kind of had the personnel to do it where the Bills don't have a strong secondary, neither do the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think going forward, you might have to get a real test for it as you have those better secondaries that come into Gillette Stadium and when you're on the road. But through 2 weeks, it's been fun to watch, obviously. It's been successful. And I think that it's something that you can, you know, add into your package each week when you're doing your schemes and your game plans. You say, listen, we have this formation. And I'm sure there are others that we haven't seen yet through 2 weeks that Josh McDaniels is hiding and waiting to utilize on certain opponents. But I liked what I've seen so far. And I think for some reason, and you can, you know, ask Jeff and anyone who listened to the postgame show the last 2 years will know this, I don't hand out praise of Tom Brady very often on the postgame show. But through 2 weeks, I think he looked great. And I know he had 21 incompletions today, but there were a lot of drops. And, you know, when you throw the ball 60 times, you're going to have some incompletions. But he's looked good, I thought. And I mean, I'm not saying he's going to break records. I'm not saying that. But he's at 7 touchdowns through 2 weeks, over 700 yards. He's on a pace to do some big things. And I'm not going to say, and I'm not going to put it out in the world, but Tom Brady has looked scary good through 2 weeks so far, and it's resulted in 2 Patriot wins.
Listen, I'll be that bold. I'm going to go ahead and say right now that I think Tom Brady this season is going to have the best touchdown to interception ratio of his career. And I think he's already on pace to do that. You know what I mean? 7 touchdowns, no picks. And he's not even throwing the ball where it can get picked. He's hitting guys right in between the numbers, right on the hands. You know, he overthrew Edelman a couple of times. I think he overthrew Gronk once. But I think he's just, like, it's kind of cliche at this point to say it. You know, he's really wants to kick everyone's ass because of the Deflategate thing. But I really think he wants to just beat down opponents. And I think he just wants to throw the ball all over the yard. I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, it was just for matchup reasons that they threw the ball 60 times today, because, you know, they had the game well in hand and they were throwing the ball deep. They weren't throwing the ball, you know, underneath and trying to keep the clock running. They were throwing the ball down the field when they had a 14-point lead. You know what I mean? So I think Tom Brady is really going to try to just throw touchdowns this year, and that's it.
I agree. And getting the fell back in, you know, 6 or 7 weeks will definitely help add on to that. I think the thing with Brady, too, and I've said this so far in both games that we've seen him pregame, that there's two Tom Brady's that will come out pregame. There's the Tom Brady who's fired up, he's locked in the zone, he's ready to go. Then there's the other Tom Brady who comes in, kind of just moping around on the sideline, you know, just, you know, I'm here, but, you know, we'll see what happens. And for a long time, that was the Tom Brady that came out. Gets in, he's making a mistake or a turnover, he'd go back to the bench, hang his head, and just kind of, you know, isolate himself. This year, through these first 2 games, I've seen him come out. He sits on that bench. He's looking around. He's fired up. He looks like he's ready to go in the zone. And so far, both weeks, early in the game, the Patriots have had success very early on moving the ball. And Brady has looked good early on throwing the football. You know, I think, and you said you don't think so, but I do think this is his revenge season. And he wants everyone to show, look at. I don't need to deflate these balls, or I don't need any special treatment, or I don't need to cheat or whatever. I can go out and beat you simply because I'm better than you. And by playing by that mentality, you know, he looked great. And everyone knows, and it's a cliche, you know, Brady has the chip in his shoulder, and, you know, he's motivates himself. And I think for a time in, you know, the middle of his career, I think he might have lost that. I think he might have lost that motivation. And, you know, I don't know what the case may be. And I know, you know, he's had a great career. I'm not taking that away from him. But I think that at certain points in his career, he kind of takes his foot off the gas, and he's not really into it. I think he's into it. I think he's all in this year. You know, he got that 4th ring, which he wanted so desperately after 10 years, and that comes with all the speculation and all the question marks. Now he wants that 5th one, and he wants to be in San Francisco this year for the 50th Super Bowl, and he wants to win, and he wants to get that 1 for the ring, or 1 for the thumb, and say, screw all of you who doubted me, who thought that I was a cheater, who thought I was over the hill, who I was done. He's on a mission this year. And he's through these first two games, he looks great. And now you get a Jacksonville Jaguars team, a very young team, not a great defense. I think he might pour it on next week as well. And you can see a Tom Brady potentially going into his bye week in week 4 with, you know, 11 or 12 touchdowns and 1,000 yards through 3 weeks. And if that's the case, Tom Brady's going to come out after that bye week with the team. And I think the early bye week is going to be beneficial for them because I think they want to get all those, you know, lingering little nicky injuries that have come out of the preseason, get those healed up so when they go through that big run from week five on, they're good to go. And right now, I think the league should be scared of Tom Brady and what this offense could do to them.
I totally agree with you. I think you're right. I think Brady might have, you know, needed this little fire to be lit under him this year. After winning that fourth Super Bowl, that was the one he was going for. This whole Deflategate thing has only made him, you know, more determined than ever to win. And look, it doesn't look like his physical skills are diminishing really in any way. I mean, we've been watching Peyton Manning for the past 2 weeks look like he's throwing the ball as hard as he can and it just floats. So, I mean, Tom Brady's still zipping the ball in there. I have no doubt that he can go into the bye week with 1,000-plus yards and, you know, 11 or so touchdowns. I think he's going to come out. I think, you know, he might not throw an interception until week six. Who knows? He kind of seems just so locked in at this point. I agree with you. You know, we've all seen him on the sidelines before. Kind of, you know, looking down, moping around, just kind of flipping through the pictures, whatever. This year, he's been walking around. He's been smacking guys on the shoulder pads. You know what I mean? He's been getting people fired up. And he just has that eye of the tiger, that death stare that he has, you know, and it looks like he's got it going on, you know, whether the game is tied, whether they're up by 30, it doesn't matter. And I think that, you know, that's not going to change going forward this year.
Exactly. And I want to touch on this really quick before we get into our final thoughts. But going around the league through these first 2 weeks, and I know, you know, people make assumptions in September and make statements and they look like idiots in December. But I have not seen one team in the AFC that scares me or that I think can challenge the Patriots. I think everybody thought it was going to be the Indianapolis Colts and that was going to be the team that would be, you know, fighting for the Super Bowl. But they looked atrocious to this Buffalo Bills team last week. And they have a game against the Jets on Monday night. Tomorrow night, which I think that they could be in trouble with the way that Jets defense look.
The Jets defense might be better.
Exactly. And I don't think the Colts can't run the ball. Andrew Luck looked very, very mediocre last week. And, you know, you look around the rest of the league, Peyton Manning, I know Denver has come out and they won that game against Kansas City, but Peyton Manning can't throw the football anymore. I mean, he just cannot throw the ball. And if Peyton Manning isn't at Peyton Manning level, the Broncos don't have a chance. Looking around the rest, Miami, they don't concern me. Baltimore does not concern me. That Kansas City team, no problem there. So where's the challenge in the AFC? I don't see one, and I think it's going to be very difficult to find a team that's going to be able to put a game plan and put a scheme together in December and January in Gillette Stadium to beat this Patriots team, especially with how motivated Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are. I can't see it happening this year.
I 100% agree with you. I think, you know, the Colts, yeah, sure, they're everyone's kind of favorite pick because, you know, everyone is so quick to crown Andrew Luck as, you know, the best quarterback in the league. They needed to go out in the first round last year of the draft and get a linebacker or something, a player on defense. They go out and draft some wide receiver who's barely even played, who's basically T.Y. Hilton 2.0. You know, what are you thinking? And, you know, Baltimore, you know, losing Terrell Suggs for the year is going to really hurt them. I think that pretty much knocked them out of the race. The only team I can kind of think that might be able to compete with New England on an offensive level is Pittsburgh when they get all their weapons back, but they have a terrible defense as we've seen. So unless their defense gets better, you know, markedly better over the next, you know, 10 weeks or so, you know, there's really no one in the Patriots' way going forward. Who are the Chargers? Like, they're not going to do anything. There's really no other team, you know, the Patriots can really only beat themselves at this point, unless some other teams in the AFC, Pittsburgh is the one I kind of have my eye on. Unless they make some significant improvements, you know, I don't think you're going to get much out of the AFC this year.
Exactly. And, you know, with that being said, that'll bring us to a close here on the Patriots post game show. Again, the New England Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills 40-32 to improve to 2-0. Tom Brady, 38-59. 466 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, bringing his touchdown-interception ratio up to 7-0. The Patriots are back at it next week at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars before they get their bye week in week 4. So you best believe the Patriots will be looking to go into that bye week undefeated and looking to rest up. We'll be back at it again next week. maybe the return of Patrick and Jeff. Who knows? That we haven't had the old cast going this season yet, so we'll try to get that for you guys. But, Mike, as always, thank you for hopping on and doing the post-game show with me as we celebrate a Patriots 40-32 victory. And we'll be back at it next week, guys. Thanks for listening. Thank you for downloading in the future. And as always, go Patriots.
Talk Radio, CLNS Radio.